Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. This is When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host today on Friday Night Joy, Reverend Ray. Amen. We're going to continue with something that Reverend Robin and I have been doing for the last probably 3 weeks now called The Love of God. I'm not sure whether she will join us or not, but we're going to continue on. Amen. Let me just go and check a couple of things real quick here, if you don't mind. I think so far with the series of the Love of God, we did Resurrection Day and we did the Passion Friday. So we're going to continue on talking about the Love of God. Today's segment of the Love of will be on, let me just go back, sacrifice, okay? So we're going to do a little bit of that. Amen. And so we're excited about the Word of God. I was trying to decide what we were going to talk about tonight. And I came to the scripture that talks about sacrifice, no greater love than a man would lay down his friend, love for a friend, and also sacrifice, meaning what Jesus Christ did for us. He was willing to die. He was willing to become the lamb for us. So we're going to get into that and talk a little bit about that. But what I want to do right now, with your permission, let me see if I can continue on. Okay, there we go. Just want to make sure we're on. But what I'm going to do right now, real quick, I just want to talk about our upcoming broadcast. History Bound and Grace Minister Vanessa Williams. Amen. It's every Friday. Every Friday. That's not right. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Okay. Declaring the finished work of Reverend Pat Randall. It's Thursday at 12 noon. Of course, I do Friday Night Joy. Amen. And we do Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life for Reverend Ray. Amen. It's Sundays at 7 p.m. But it's the first and the third Sunday of the month. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, the brothers just finished an awesome broadcast on last Sunday. Our weekly prayer is Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Conference call number is 712-770-5505. The SS code is 732-499. Now, I do want to let you know in advance, let me go back to my show notes here, that on this Sunday, okay, this Sunday is the third Sunday, amen, I will be joined with Veronica Burnett and guest Sunita Mitchell, okay, She's the wife of Brother Antonio Mitchell that does the broadcast with the men. And this is, the topic would be a journey to the better days. We'd be talking about dealing with all the craziness going on now, where to get help, dealing with depression and all those things. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that and everything, getting coaching, getting prayer, where to get help. So that's going to take place this Sunday at 7 p.m. because people are suffering, you know, and they're looking for answers, and we know that Jesus is the answer, okay? Also, real quick, let me see if I can go to another page. I want to let you know that we do have a new broadcast that's just didn't really start. In fact, it will start in May the 21st, called Matters of the Heart. And then I will be joined by Pastor Maggie Wilson and myself. We'll be talking to the seniors. So it's called Matters of the Heart Singles Ministries. Okay, so that's coming up in May. You should begin to see some flyers that's coming up. Okay, so those are the things that we got coming up in soon, and stay tuned. Amen. So let's just go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for today, for this truly is the day that you have made. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for keeping us alive in the land of the living. God, we thank you for keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger. God, we thank you for every trial and every tribulation, everything that we might have faced today, because we know that in the end of the thing, we win. And thank you for that, Lord Jesus. So, God, we give this broadcast to you. We pray that you will come and have your way. You set the atmosphere. You bring forth the word. God, you bring forth the healing. You bring forth the deliverance. You bring forth whatever is needed, Lord Jesus. The people need to hear a word from you today, God. We know that you love us. You loved us so much that you was even willing to sacrifice yourself. In fact, you did sacrifice yourself. We know that you love us, Jesus, for you died even on the cross for our sins, willingly. You could have turned back. You could have called a legion of angels, but you went forth and died for the sins of the whole world. So we are grateful today. So again, we give this broadcast to you. Holy Spirit, come. Come with all your might and all your glory, and you set the atmosphere of what needs to be done and what needs to be said. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome you to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Ray. I believe Reverend Robin is on with me. Amen. And she may have something to say at a later time. But we're going to go forth and speak what God has given us. Like I said before, we have been talking about the love of God probably for the last 3 weeks, maybe even a longer. I would encourage you to go back to listen to some of those previous broadcasts. Amen. Just go back and listen to some of those previous broadcasts dealing with the Resurrection Sunday, another one dealing with Passion Friday, I believe. Amen. But let me just go back just a little bit, and I don't want to go back too far because we want to talk about this sacrifice. But let me first read you a couple of things just to catch you up just a little bit, okay? Just bear with me. It says, there are four unique forms of love are found in the scripture. They are communicated through Greek words, eros, storge, philia, and agape. They are characterized by romantic love, family love, brotherly love, and God's divine love. God's divine love being the agape, okay? And one of the things that Reverend Roberts said in the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this, is that the other loves don't have nothing on God's divine love. You know, they are small in comparison. In other words, they're like a little dust mite in comparison to the love of God. Those other loves fall away or may go away in time and stuff like that, but the love of God always is always with them. The agape love is selfless, is sacrificial, is unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. It really, this writer, that's probably go beyond it being the highest, you know. They don't even compare. They're not even in the same room as the agape love or the love that God feels towards us. It says agape, and variations of it frequently found it throughout the New Testament, but rarely in non-Christian Greek literature. Agape love perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus Christ has for his Father and for his followers and for us. That type of agape love, the type of love that is willing to sacrifice himself just so that we might have life, but not just any kind of life, but life more abundantly. It's just the agape love is the term or the type of love that defines God, immeasurable and incomparable love for humankind. There's no measure. We can't measure the agape love that God has for us. It is ongoing, it's outgoing, it's self-sacrificing, concern for lost and fallen people. And God gives his love without condition. It's important that we understand that. The agape love is without condition. It's unreservedly to those who are undeserving and inferior to himself. In other words, the love that God has for us has nothing to do with who we are, or what kind of degrees, how well we serve, but it's this type of love, again, is for undeserving or inferior to himself when we compare, you know. But yes, he looks at us and tells us that he loves us. In John 3:16, and then we're going to move on because this is a scripture that ties into all this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what God desired for his creation. He desired for us to be in that place where and that we have everlasting life. Just so that it was in the beginning, before the fall of man, before Adam sinned. You know, he wants that kind of, always wanted that kind of fellowship, a relationship with us. Okay? Amen. Amen. So we caught up with that, and then we talk about Resurrection Sunday and the love of Christ that how he loved us, that he was willing to die, you know, and even in the Garden of Eden, you know, he asked the Father, it's impossible, and I'm paraphrasing, this cup pass, but in the same breath, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He began to tell his disciples that everything I do because their Father instructs us, me too. And everything, because I love the Father and the Father loves me. And we should have that same kind of relationship with Jesus. You know, we should have that same kind of outcome when it comes to the Father. Okay, that we should be to a place that we only do what God tells us to do because we love him. But more important than anything that I love, because I love sometimes can be conditional, but he loves me. You know, as messed up, as jacked up, as turned around, as hypocritical, as sinful nature I am in the flesh, God still loves you and he still loves me. He doesn't love us because of the color of your skin. He don't love it because of your pedigree, that you've been a Baptist or a Pentecostal for the last 50 years. That he loves us. His love is more than just that. It's more than that. It compasses all of that. He loved you when you was drunker than a skunk. And won't even think about coming to God. He loved you when you was sleeping with every man that was out there. He loved you when you was sleeping with every woman. Can't leave you out, brother. You were sleeping with every person that was out there. You know, when you was doing drugs and when you were stealing and robbing people and putting a gun in somebody's face, he loved you then, even to the point when you was telling lies and everything out of your mouth was a fat lie, when you was cheating on your income tax. God still loved you even then. Yes, he did. He loved you even more so then. You know, he loved you even more so. I said I was going to move on, but I want to go back to something real quick. Let me see if I can find it here. I mean, I know I have it. Okay. It's something that, oh yeah, here it is right here. It comes out of Romans chapter 8, verses 38. It says, "For," and this is Paul speaking, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. None of those things will be able to stop God from loving you. Even when you're bad, God still loves you. You know, he may not be pleased with what we're doing at times, but he still loves you. And he desires you and he desires me to live and not die. Okay? He desires us to live and not die. Now, let's talk about sacrifice, because that's our main topic for tonight. Let's talk about the sacrifice. In order to talk about sacrifice, what does it mean? What does it mean, the word mean? It says it's the act or ceremony of making an offering to God or a God, especially on an altar. That's what it says. It says something offered as a religious act, an act of giving up something, especially for the sake of someone or something else. We were happy to make a sacrifice of our time to help our friend, and they just give an example. But it's the act, y'all, of giving up something for someone else. No greater love, sacrifice, no greater love than of a man that will lay down his life for a friend. A sacrifice, meaning even in the Old Testament and everything, the first sacrifice that I can remember is when God clothed Adam and Eve after they had sinned. Okay? Let me see if I can find that scripture reference. It says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." Then he doesn't say whether it was an animal, and that's always been a debate. But when I'm thinking about anything with a coat of skin, I'm thinking that something had to die. And believe it or not, I always felt that this was the something that was have to take place representing Christ, that something had to die. And then you begin to go a little further in the Old Testament with Moses and some of the sacrifices and some of the things that had to be believing had to be done, that when they said they had to come, and they, Robert probably going to explain this better than me, but they had to come and present themselves to the priest, you see what I'm saying, so the priest can lay hands on whatever they were sacrificed, whether it was a lamb or a goat or anything like that for whatever the sin that they were done. Something had to die for the sins that we have committed. But one of the things that I like about when I begin to talk about sacrifices on the altar of the Old Testament, you know, and during the times of Moses and throughout the histories of the Israelites and even with the Jews, the one thing I liked about it is that there was someone coming further down the path, that they would have to do no more sacrifice. One sacrifice was more than enough, and that was Jesus Christ for our sins. So when he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of, he was the final blood sacrifice that was needed. He was perfect. You know, normally back in the Old Testament, when they were sacrificed for a sin they have committed, the issue was they could go back right back out there and sin again. And they had to do the whole procedure all over again. They have to go through the whole bringing it, the animal or the dove or whatever to the priest, to the priest to lay hands on it and slay it for their sin. But when Jesus came on the scene, man, he was the ultimate sacrifice. There was no more need for the blood of goats and lamb and all that. There was no more. He was the final sacrificial lamb for our sins. And he did it willingly for us and for you. You know, the scripture said that he was like a lamb led to slaughter, you know, willingly going to die for us. Sacrifice for you and for me. You know, when I'm thinking about that, you know, for myself, you know, because I know I have messed up. I have been in my life. But here is the Son of the Living God willing to die for me. See, sometimes we got to get to a point where we personalize that thing. He was willing to die for me. He's willing to die for me, you know, lay down his life for me. You know, so that we, so for you and I can go behind the veil, so that we can have that fellowship like Adam did, you know, walking in the cool of the day with God. God showing him the mysteries and the allegories of his word, you know, the awesomeness of God and who he is doing those things for us, okay? That's like that type of sacrifice that he's willing for us. He, in the scriptures, it said that it's not God's will for any man to perish. God doesn't want us to perish. But he also hates sin, sacrifice. So something had to be done when the fall of Adam took place. Something had to be done. There was a plan already in motion. You know, everything, God knew everything that was going to take place for Adam because he knew the beginning and he knew the end of it. He knew all of that. He's omnipresent. You know, he's omnipotent. He knew all that. All that was in his hand. He knew everything. He knew what took place. But even with that, we may not have known. But a plan was set forth. Through 42 generations, the scriptures talk about that Jesus came, our Christ came for us. Yeah, I know resurrection, but resurrection for us should be the holiday of representing when Jesus Christ died on the cross should be forth with us all the time, being renewed in our mind of the sacrifice for us, a price that we can never, ever repay. We can never, ever repay that kind of debt. We can't repay that debt. How much of a mercy did God show? I want to read a scripture that's coming out of Romans chapter 12. And this is, and then we can start talking about this a little bit longer too. Okay. And it says, coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. Now guess what is going on right here. So not only did Christ willingly sacrifice himself, or God gave himself and sacrificed his son. He's requiring for us that sacrifice too. Not to the point that with Jesus, but well, then again, perhaps he is requiring us to be willing to die. Willing to die for his name's sake, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Willing, y'all. And willing and able and not afraid, because we know in whom we believe. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are the temple, okay? Everything that we do, you know, even in this body, this sinful state of body, you know, we have to sacrifice. One of the things I thought about, I'm probably, I meant to say this earlier, I always thought about our parents, mother and father. You know, I think about my mom and the sacrifices she made for us to have a better life, you know, and everything like that. Her sacrifices, or her parents' sacrifice, was doing the best that they knew how to do. But that's not so with Jesus Christ. Okay? He wasn't doing the best he knew what to do. He was being obedient to the Father for us, you know, for you and for me. Okay, so the scripture says, these are present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. How is that possible in the sinful flesh? It's not within our own self. The only way that we can present our body as a living sacrifice is through the Holy Spirit. He has to do it. It can't be nothing that we do, because if we do it, then we become self-righteous, and then we mess it up anyway. Then we looking around at people like we think that we have arrived, but it should never be. God has to do it. He has to want make us that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. In fact, it was done when Jesus said it was finished. He said, which is your reasonable service? You know, which is your reasonable service? In other words, I believe that what he's saying that also that we have to begin to think, have the mind of Christ in us and everything for those things to be done. It says, and be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. Now, there it is right there. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We might prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. But that's done through us willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice for us may be turning down a plate. Maybe cutting the TV off, you know. Maybe waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you got to get up at 6 and pray because the Holy Spirit says so. Sacrifice for us has to be done by the unction of the Holy Spirit, because there's a danger if we're doing it ourselves. Our motives might not be correct. But when the Holy Spirit is beginning to lead us and guide us to those things, something abnormal, something miraculous take place. You know, something miraculous take place. The scripture that says that even with that, how sacrifice you have to be careful, because the scripture said that obedience is better, is more or better, and I'm paraphrasing, better than sacrifice. I believe he was talking to King Saul at the time. Yeah, the prophet was talking to him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So not only we want to operate in a place of sacrifice, but a place of being obedient to Him, you know. And again, that's done with the Holy Spirit. My computer just there we go. Amen. Okay, no greater love than that has a man that will lay down his life for a friend. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. That's what Paul is telling you the Ephesians, look, follow after what Christ did. What did Christ do? What did he do? That we might be a sweet-smelling savor to God. That God may look at us and say, oh, they smell so good. Oh, that's my son. Oh, that's my daughter. And I'm well pleased in them because they're following and they're listening to my son. They're listening to my son. They're listening to the Holy Spirit. They're going, and no matter what kind of trials and no matter what kind of tribulation that they may be facing, no matter what kind of sickness, but they're still moving forward, giving God the glory, you know, praising Him, worshiping Him, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the jail that, like, the disciples coming, some of the disciples were in. Get to a point that we're like, okay, God, I'm going to give you a sacrifice of praise. My body is in pain, but I'm going to sacrifice myself to praise you, to magnify you, and to glorify your name, because you are good, and you are good all the time. And because you love me just like that, that no matter what, God, that you love me, you love me in spite of myself, even when I didn't love myself. God, you were there. Jesus, you were there. You know, Kim, we begin to think about the goodness, and we begin to think about the time that he knocked on our door, you know, and we didn't want to open the door because we were in the world, and we was having so much fun, but he continued to knock, y'all. For some of us, it might have took years for us to finally open the door. It took us almost having a nervous breakdown or losing a loved one or losing every single thing that we might have had we thought that was important and stuff. But yet, still, that was God. That was our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, with open arms to us and everything. willing to take us in, willing to kiss us on the forehead, willing to put a ring on the forehead, willing to call us heirs and joint heirs, willing to do all those things, willing to hold even up the scepter to us, to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God did that. A sacrifice, y'all. You know, we could never repay the debt that we owe him. We could never repay the debt that we owe him. This is, I want to read another chapter here. This is coming out of Hebrews 13 and 15, Hebrews chapter 13. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. We talked about that earlier, to God continually. You know, we also talk about, again, like before we talked about the sacrifices of Jesus and God did for us, but what about our sacrifice? Here Paul says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That means to me, that means done sound. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, giving thanks to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful today to be in the land. I'm grateful for what God has brought me from. I'm grateful, you know, when the enemy meant evil for me, God turned it around for my good. I'm grateful that when the time came that the doctors wanted to put me in a nursing home because they thought that I would not even get better. In fact, I had one of them tell me, Mr. Rose, this is good as it gets. You're not going to get anything. I'm grateful to see that. I wish I could see that doctor and say, hi, remember me, you gave up on me, but God didn't. You know, a sacrifice of praise. When we begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but glorify him. Even if your body is not well, even if I get to ever in a point that I can't do anything else, but if I can just wave, the old people used to say, folks, thank you, sit there, if I could just wave my hand. If I can wave my hand, then I wave my hand. If I can't talk, if I can't move anymore and stuff like that, because this old earthly temple has begun to dissolve, then the one thing I can do, I can say hallelujah. Nobody may not be able to understand what I'm saying, but I can say glory to you, God, for the sacrifice that was made for me, the sacrifices that was made for you. You know, the sacrifice, you know, some of us and many of us are living testimonies. We are. We're walking around like a Lazarus because God has done great things. We're worshiping him. We're praising him because nobody can understand our joy because they don't know what we went through. But God does. Let me read that one more time. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. That's what Hebrews 13, chapter 15 and 16. Amen. I have a couple more. Okay. Let's see. Amen. Let's go to, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 and 6. We got to understand what we mean to God, but we also got to understand, we need to understand both parts, what we mean to God, but what God means to us, you know, that we are not in these trials and tribulations and storms and coronavirus alone. You know, I know, you know, we should get to a point that we know that our Redeemer liveth. You know, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, and when we, because we have been grafted into the branch and everything, we have been grafted into the thing. We are completely Jews now. We can say that I know, or you know, or we know that our Redeemer is living. Let me go ahead and read this real quick. I think I said Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. It says this. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He said he able offer more to God, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why is that? Well, let me just stop right before I read on with that. Why? Why was his offering unto God better than Cain? Abel knew what God liked. Abel did things from the heart. Okay, there was a heart, mother, and please say he knew about the praise and to worship and the reverence. Cain, I believe it. I don't know. I wasn't there. Just did it for the sake because it had to be done. You know, sometimes people, well, it's a duty. I got to do it. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm tithes is just one aspect, because sometimes what can be our greatest sacrifice or a greater gift to God or tithing is not necessarily money, but it can be time. Okay, it could be relationship. It could be being obedient, you know, to him and stuff like that. Abel was like, he knew, you know. It's not like Cain didn't know, because I believe he knew. He just decided to give him whatever he thought was good. But I believe that Abel took very deep care in what he presented to God. I believe he took great care in what he presented to God. You know, he didn't want to come to God like no any kind of way. He didn't. He couldn't. He didn't do that like that. You know, and the same principle applies for us. Now, we can't come to Jesus Christ no any kind of way. You know, I was talking to someone earlier this week, and we was talking about how it was when we was growing up that about the convenience that and you could not go near that convenience that, man. You know, as a kid, no, you couldn't go near it. You couldn't even look at it the wrong way. When the old saints will grab you by the ears and everything like that. The communion set, even the going up to the altar, you know, and everything. Even if you had to step out and go there, there was a reverence of things done. They were stopping. If God forbid you in that chewing gum, there was a reverence, you know, of being in the house of God, you know, and everything. And if you came in there with a real miniskirt dress, there was someone always to throw some kind of big, thick, ugly blanket over top of you. They was willing to take a big old thing, you know. Anyone say like, "God bless you, dear," and throw that big blanket over top of you. But there was a reverence, okay, when we came to God and everything like that. There was a reverence. There was a respect. There was an honor and everything, you know. And the only thing they'll talk about, we need to go back to those days. Everything we did was about worshiping and serving God for real and everything like that. You know, I believe my mother and my grandparents and my aunties and everything, they didn't have a lot, you know, they didn't have a lot and everything. But what they had, they reverenced and they blessed God for it, you know. They would say their grace over it, and they would make you say grace or scripture too. Amen, and stuff like that. But yeah, those days are missed. Okay, he said, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." More excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know, we don't want to present ourselves like a Cain spirit to God. We want to present ourselves like Christ, because Abel is gone now. But Jesus Christ is still alive and still here, okay? It says, like he was, let me go back. It says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead, yet speaking." In other words, when Cain killed him, his blood spoke. Because his sacrifice was righteous, his blood speak. When your sacrifice is righteous, that Holy Spirit is going to speak, man, and it's going to be loud. God, I hear it. And he comes to you about his kids. Yeah. The next time, verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." That he pleased God, y'all. You know? That he pleased God. God, allow my sacrifice, allow everything you do, Lord Jesus, to please you. So that when this is all over, then I have breathed my last breath, and then the heart has stopped, and all the things, the body begins to shut down, and the spirit begins to say, okay, God, I'm ready. That I will hear you say, well done, that you've been faithful over a few things, which means that, right, you didn't always get it right. You made some mistakes, but you was faithful over a few things. Now, come on up, son. Come on up, daughter, and I'm going to make you ruler over the many things, okay? And the scripture said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And it didn't say that it may, but it said it will come in the morning. You know, I don't know about you and stuff like that, but Jesus is the center of my joy. And if he's the center of my joy, he's already with me. He's already with me. He's already omnipresent with me. Every step that I take, every step that you take, every place that you go, if the lawyers even in the courtroom, God is with you. You know, in the doctor, so God is with you. For every negative thing that the doctor said, God was there like, I'm still here. He said to us that I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Let me read on. It says, verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, y'all, it's impossible to please God. You know, it's just not possible to please God without faith. You know, of all the things that he did for us, it's impossible to please God without faith. So we press, you know, we press. That's what we do. We have to press to that mark of a higher calling in Christ Jesus. And it's not us, but it's the Christ that's in us. Because of our own self, we can't do it. We can't. We fooling ourselves. We think we can make our own self righteous. We can't do it. It's through the righteousness of God that it's possible. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, of God through in Christ Jesus. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm sacrificing everything. I know I'm moving things away, not me, but the Holy Spirit, to get to God, to get to that relationship with him and stuff like that, that he can trust me. And I know I can trust him, that he can vouch for me. He can vouch for me. Can you imagine that Jesus, when he look at me and stuff like that, he don't see me, Ray, in the flesh or you in the flesh, but he sees his own identity. He sees a reflection of himself. I always say, and I always believe that when Jesus come back that day and he cracked the sky and he come down with a shout, and that's how he's going to identify him. He can see himself, a reflection of himself. I always say that. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's going to see a reflection of himself. He said, yep, that's mine. That's mine. He probably would not say that. Then we should be caught up, y'all. We should be caught up, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. Can you imagine that day? A day is soon approaching to with us. All the scriptures that he had prophesied, the men will become more lovers of themselves. And the men will become more lovers of themselves. Mother and father and sisters and brother have turned against the family connection. It's not like it used to be. It's gotten, look like every 10 years it seems to get worse and worse and worse. The dynamics are not the same. Not in all cases and stuff, because there are still some that's like that. But it's happening. You know, the love of that men should help each other has gone out the window. You know, we'd have had, what, they said, like 45 miles. There's no love. But that's the spirit of hate that is going out. A spirit of hate, which is opposite of who God is. So anybody that's sick, they can murder somebody and say, God told me, it's a lie. It's demonic in nature. Yeah, I said it. You can write me, you can send me emails. But it's demonic because that's not true. How can you say you love God but hate your neighbor or hate someone that your brothers and your sisters that you see almost every day? How can you say you love God? That's not true. How can you do that? How can you hate me because of the color of my skin, but sit in church and magnify God and praise them and shout hallelujah, but as soon as you see somebody that don't look like you, you bring forth hate. You bring forth isolation. There's no love in that. There's no love in that, okay? The love of God. The love of God. We need to have the love of God for each other, okay? Okay. Verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. That diligently seek him. Amen. I got one more scripture. And what time is it? Oh, man. What's on time? I got one more scripture, y'all. And then we're going to move on. I haven't opened it up to see Reverend Robin. I'm having things to say. Reverend Robin, you still with me?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Ray.
Okay. All right. Okay, look. Yeah, let's do this. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And, okay, this is 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be he have fasted, tasted, that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4 is where I really want to go. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, you know, he called us lively stones. Yeah, we're the type of stones that we have purpose, you know, in everything that has taken place in our life, you know, every testimony, every storm, everything that's going on, there's purpose with it. And sometimes I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I can't see. But that's where the faith comes in. Okay, God, I think it was one of the prophets told, Lord, open their eyes, they can see that there be more with us than there be with them. I think it was Reverend Rob, you can help. I think it was Elijah or Elisha concerning one of his servants. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes, because so we can see that Jesus Christ is with us. He's with us, y'all. God. He's with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He promised that. Yes, he did. Okay. I'm trying to decide that I want to read this other scripture or not. Amen. Let me just read over it real quick. Amen. But again, all of it, when it really comes down, Lord, we talked about several different things today, and we sort of talked about, you know, the last couple of times we talked about the love of God. We did our passion. We did Resurrection Sunday, you know, but all this turn goes back to how God loves us, you know, unmeasurable love that he has for us. There's no way we can measure it. We can't even, I think the word is fathom the love. I can't even think about it. It's beyond anything we can ever comprehend. The love of God that he has for us, okay? And the sacrifices that he made for us. He gave his son. That was a great price. How many of us that are those that have kids will sacrifice our son and daughter for somebody else? Probably none. Yeah. Sacrifice our son and daughter. Amen. Reverend Robin, you have anything to add?
No, Reverend Ray, you've covered the word. I've enjoyed being on and listening to all that you had to say with regards to our sacrifice, and just bless God for the word that has come forth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's important, You know, and I've been crying this whole time, and you know, because Reverend Robin called me a crybaby at times, right? Well, I don't cry as much as I used to. So I've gotten better. I've gotten better. But for me, you know, when I think about, and I can only personalize it, I think that's the right word, for myself. You know, we can only reflect our testimony, you know. You know, we can listen to somebody else and we can watch somebody else's testimony, and we should rejoice when somebody's giving the testimony that God has done great things. But when you experience some things for yourself and you look at your life and you wonder how, there used to be a spiritual song that used to say, how I got over. I think it was Aretha Franklin that song back in the day, how I got over. I got over. They said over. I think that's how you say it. I'm so look back and I wonder how I got over. But see, the thing with us, we don't have to wonder. You know, you don't have to wonder. It was nobody but God. You know, it was nobody but God. God did it. And that's what we're in the Thanksgiving. And I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Thanksgiving and praise and worship. You got to go back and listen to that. Amen. But nobody but God. And for me, you know, as I begin to reflect on where I'm at right now and what God has done for me, I thank you. You know, I thank you, God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to shout hallelujah. I don't care. When I was at several other churches, including the Tree, or like Reverend Robert, Pastor James Robinson, the pastor, I had a problem. They probably yelling to the top of my voice. Finally, the word got back to me that somebody said that they thought something was wrong with me. And I said, yeah, I love Jesus. And you don't know my testimony. But it's okay. Okay. Even the church I came to, I did the same thing. I love God. You know, I'm grateful for where he has brought me from. And I just want to continue to serve him as much as I can. Not within my own self, but within the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. Because within myself, my flesh, I can't do. There's no great thing. But with the Holy Spirit or Christ that's in me, oh man, it's power and authority, you know, to do greater things, to do greater work, you know, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach in season and out of season, you know, to study to show myself, to show him approval, that I might present the sacrifices unto him, to sing songs of glory with him. But me, no. Because there have been days, y'all, to be honest with you, I'm like, I don't want to do this. You know, I'll put a tape in a heartbeat. Right, Reverend Robert?
Bless God.
You know, but you know, one of the things I like about this, and we almost got a couple of minutes in everything, that the pressing of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing us. I said, no, I need you to do this. No, I need you to be forth. Yeah, I know you're tired, you know, but there has to be a sacrifice, you know, that pushes us forward to pray even when we don't want to feel like praying, you know, to speak life into somebody and stuff that all they ever did for us is speak hate. You know, to love our enemies when we know that our enemy is trying their best to destroy us or cut us to shreds. In one breath, they speaking great things in front of us, but behind our back, they're cutting us to shreds. Cutting us to shreds. Reducing a curse on their own self and don't even know it because they're messing with God, with what God has ordained. That's why we have to be careful, y'all. Okay, but even if the words that come out of our mouth, we have to be careful of what we say to other people because we don't know what God is doing in their life. You know, the best thing we can do is say, okay, God, I know that person may be going, but allow me, Lord, Holy Spirit, to speak whatever you have said for me to speak. And if you gave me a word to speak, let me leave them alone. But I can pray for them, but let me leave them alone. Let me back up because they don't know what they did. Jesus said when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People are doing things in this day and time. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they don't know that they're putting themselves in the path of an angry God. You know, they don't know that. They don't understand that. You know, but what our task is to be salt, light, and power no matter what. I'm done now. I'm just going on about some stuff. But to bring salt, light, and power. Amen. 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 So we're going to go ahead and close that. Don't forget about this Sunday coming up with the amen, with the young ladies. Okay. Let me go back here. Okay. Let me just make sure of this. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. With the Generative Better Days would be this Sunday with Veronica Burnett and guest Sunita Mitchell will be with us, okay? So y'all come back and join us, man. Tell somebody about the broadcast. Please share this if you're on social media. Amen. Please share the broadcast. All right? So thanks again. Reverend Robert, thank you for joining me. You know, I appreciate you. Love you much, cuz. Okay? Amen. Okay. All right. So, Father God, we just want to thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the message. We pray, God, it has been a blessing to the people. It has definitely been a blessing to me. It reminds me, God, of the covenant that you have cut with us, that we got to remember that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we may endure for night, but joy comes in the morning. The covenant you have given us to know that when we're weak, you are strong. So allow us to bask in your glory. Allow us to think on those things that are true and have a good report, Lord Jesus. Those things that are holy, those things, Lord Jesus, that will bring us strength and go through whatever trials and tribulations that we have to face. Allow us to be strong and to stand. And after we are strong, allow us to continue to strong in the power and the grace of your might. God, Lord Jesus, bless those that listen to the broadcast, those that might be going through some different sickness or illness or whatever it may be. Come and knock on that door and remind them, tap them on the shoulder, Lord Jesus, that they might know that you love them just like that, no matter what. Bless them that they're coming in and they're going in. Oh, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, for those that are suffering, because of different illness and viruses, God. We pray for a holistic healing in the body, mind, and soul. We pray for salvation of souls today, Lord Jesus. We pray for a great awakening, even with the church, even though most of the churches are closed down and doing Zoom, but we pray for a great awakening to take place. We forever to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You. Amen. So y'all take care. God bless you. And thank you for listening in. This is Reverend Ray on Friday Night Joy with Reverend Robert. Our topic has been the love of God. This is the third part of a series. It's called Sacrifice. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.